You ready?
Let's go.
You ready to do some talking?
Oh. I've been holding it back this whole time.
What does that mean?
You'll find out.
Welcome to my
Mare,
nightmare.
bitch.
You all painted up for a crackhead, huh? Halloween ain't till mañana.
Just another Halloween.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the show. We are Just Another Movie Night. I'm Scott.
I'm Joe.
And today we are talking trash.
Talking trash.
Talking trash, indeed.
Talking trash. Wait, can I say it like Freddy?
Sure.
Talking trash.
Oh, wow.
Talking trash.
Talking trash.
Welcome to my trash, bitch.
Oh, shit. Talking trash indeed. This is our show to review, spoil, debate, crap on, give second chances to the hated, the lowest rated, the much debated and often forgotten flicks on the internet, all while asking the question, is this the worst movie ever made? And if not, what is? Because here on the show, we believe you truly can't review films unless you know what the worst is. And that brings us to today, where we're in our fourth week of Potoween.
Potoween. That was worse than last one. That was worse than my life. Hold on.
Oh, wow.
That's my witch.
Oh, boy.
Oh, God.
All We're right. in our fourth week of our favorite month, October, doing Potoween. And we are doing movies in horror movie franchises, but we're doing the lowest rated of that franchise.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've been going down the list from the lowest rated to the highest rated of the of these different franchises. And they're all slasher films.
Yeah, of
and
course.
I would say that all of these slashers have about seven or more films. So only one of them, I don't think, does. But so far, we have been on a roll of just like overboard franchises. Like each one of them has like 12 movies. And so that's what we're at today. We are finally at A Nightmare on Elm Street.
You shouldn't have buried me. I'm not dead.
We're doing today a movie that's tagline was bold enough to claim they saved the best for last.
Buh.
We're talking about 1991's Freddy's Dead, The Final Nightmare, a.k.a. the sixth film in the franchise. It has a 4.7 on IMDb from 92,000 reviewers and a 39 on Metacritic. The budget was $11 million and it grossed $34. It was directed and written by the Tank Girl director, Rachel Talalay. She was a long-running member of the crew on all the Nightmare on Elm Street films, and that's why she got this one. It was also co-written by producer Michael DeLuca, who also wrote In the Mouth of Madness.
I am shocked by that bit of trivia.
Yeah. So today we are talking Freddy's Dead. And Joe, what do you think about Freddy's Dead?
I fucking hate this movie.
Wow.
Okay. I fucking hate it. I hate it.
You hate it.
I hate it. The whole time I'm sitting there watching this movie, I was like, this shit. Like, I have not seen it since it came out. Okay, it's been that long. And I only really remember two scenes in the movie, but I did not remember just how goddamn awful and nonsensical it is. I mean, I understand to call movies in any horror franchise nonsensical. That's kind of like silly to do that, because every franchise has at least one movie in it that is so nonsensical that you literally just want to pluck out your own eyelashes because you just can't take it.
That's a little bit shocking because every one of these franchises we've done are insanely nonsensical throughout almost all of the franchise.
Right, but what I'm trying to say is like there's always one in each franchise where you're just like...
And this is the one?
This motherfucker.
Not the one before this.
You mean the Dream Child?
Yeah. That wasn't nonsensical and messy enough.
Okay, but...
Four wasn't nonsensical and messy enough.
All right. Well, I understand what you're saying, but not to this level. Okay? Just not to this level at all. I feel like I don't know what I just watched. I'm baffled. I'm baffled. I need some clarity, and I don't think I'm going to get it, but I would really... I mean, I just severely, severely dislike everything about this movie.
Wow.
I'll get you, my pretty, and your little soul, too!
Okay. Yeah. Holy shit, this is going to be an interesting talk.
Oh.
Do you want to dive into the plot, Joe?
I have some chocolate. Yeah. I can eat my chocolate while we're talking about the shit bag plot.
I can't wait to hear the noise. I'm going to have to edit.
You're not going to edit nothing. I'm not a loud eater. Did you hear that? That was my chocolate. Go ahead. Talk about the plot.
I have to do it all alone?
No.
You know what?
Here's
the deal.
See, you have to set... Your job is to set things up. That's what you do.
Here's the deal. How do we feel about Freddy Krueger up to this point? Is Freddy Krueger... Was he one of your favorite slasher...
Yes, under Chucky. Right under Chucky, and Chucky's number one.
And then Freddy.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, I had a very bizarre love for Freddy Krueger growing up. And it's funny, too, because when you look back at it, you say to yourself, I was a kid who liked Freddy Krueger, who is a child murderer.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe molester. It's a very confusing thing. I know that Jackie Earle Haley's version definitely confirmed it is a molestation type thing.
Well, I forgot. I wrote that movie out of my life, and I will never watch it again. I pretend it's not there.
Okay. Well, after this one, we might have to go revisit that.
No.
And we can see what you think.
No. Nope. But yes, I do understand what you're saying. I mean, how can we find Freddy at all entertaining? He's a child murderer.
Well, it's just funny. Like, to me, he was such an iconic character that I just could not get enough of. So much that in middle school, and I don't even know why I was watching Freddy Krueger. I guess it was one of those things that maybe my brother had a poster of, and I watched some of the movie accidentally, and I just like got obsessed. And also around that time, he was appearing everywhere.
You see, my name is Freddy, and I'm here to say, I'll wrap you up and take you away. Feel like you're tired and ready for bed. Don't fall asleep or you'll wake up dead.
You know, not to date myself, but he was like hosting MTV.
He was on Arsenio Hall.
He had his own television show. He was like...
It's like Freddy's Sweet Dreams or something like that.
I think it was called Nightmares, wasn't it? Freddy's Nightmares?
Freddy's Nightmares. That would make more sense.
I mean, he was everywhere. You couldn't get away from Freddy Krueger at one point. And I remember in middle school, I was drawing him. I was obsessed with drawing him and making him do dream kills in my drawings. And I remember the teacher called my parents and said that I was drawing demented things. I was drawing murder pictures.
Wow. I mean, that's stuff you see actually in the movies.
Yes. Where they call this actually happened. And I told the teacher, no, it's just, you know, that's just Freddy.
Well, probably not a good reflection on your mom and dad for letting you watch Freddy movies.
This is really funny is that I remember my parents came. My mom came to school and she went and talked to my teacher. And she went to my teacher. She looked at the art and she went, oh, that's just Freddy Krueger. I'll never forget it. And the woman being like, yeah.
Yeah,
crazy. And her saying his brother is into all that. So they're both artistic and he's trying to be artistic like him. And he's picking up on it. And she's like, well, I think it might, you know, I just remember that happening. And I also remember doing a shoulder shrug when the teacher said, "Why are you drawing these things?" And I was like, I shrugged my shoulders and I said, "I don't know." Because my father would do that. And I remember my mom being pissed that I was copying my father.
I can tell you, I hate that too.
He used to go, "Que sera?"
No.
And I don't like he it. Put his shoulders up. And I did the same thing to the teacher.
Like if I say something to you, you did that a couple times, like way back in the day when we were first dating, and you would just give me that like that half smirk with that punchable face that you would like make that punchable, smirky, snarky, smart ass face and shrug your shoulders at me. And I'm like, okay, you're going to stop that right now if you want to continue this date. I don't like it. It was like a way to say fuck you. That's what it was. And you know it because I can see your face right
was
now.
Was this the time that we played Scrabble and you flipped the board over because you were mad that I put an S word on the end of another word?
Okay, I don't believe that that's ever happened. And I feel like you made this up. And it could have been one of your other girlfriends. Who knows?
No. But I definitely remember you specifically flipping a board, freaking out, and running out of the house.
I do not possess that kind of rage.
The police are going to find my photos of Freddy Krueger soon.
Just don't shrug your shoulders when you're in the interrogation room. Cause
they're going to say, "What happened to your wife?" And I'm like, "Oh.
Damn." Okay. So if you guys are listening to this, you might want to call the police. You have the cutest fucking face right now, too. So, like, totally, like, you shrug your shoulders at me right now.
What has happened to us?
I would want to smack you at the same time as give you a smooch.
Why would you ever want to hurt me?
Because you're a smartass. But I don't want to hurt you. I love you because you're a smartass.
Oh, God. What has happened to this? I'm probably going to edit out all of
this. No, you can't.
It's just chaos at this point.
It's fun.
Anyways. Look, here's the deal. I liked Freddy. You liked Freddy.
I love Freddy.
And now we're at Freddy's Dead. Because we got to the point in the franchise where it happens to every franchise. And what we've been learning this month as we've been going down the line, each one of the movies we've done so far is trying to kill off the characters. Trying to either kill the characters off, reboot the characters, or trying to establish lore. I think all of the franchises we've done so far, this is the fourth, they have all established lore into the franchise. Even Texas Chainsaw Massacre, which we didn't even get to talk about fully with the Illuminati. Who knows what the hell that was about? They're trying so hard to make sense of it. When they do that, they're the most hated of the franchises. The ones that are like, okay, let's clean house, make lore, or end the character. And everybody's like, fucking hate it. I want the same old shit. Give me it over and over until I feel like throwing up. And here we are. I mean, this is what happened. They finally figured out maybe we need to clean house, move on, and get rid of this because it's starting to become stale. And I would say that the one before this one in particular, I remember there's things about it that are interesting, but it was kind of like a messy film.
Yeah.
And so coming into this one, I'm not surprised that they're struggling so much. And what happened behind the scenes was hilarious. A great tidbit is that the script was given to a young Peter Jackson.
What?
Peter Jackson had made some hits over in New Zealand. He had made Bad Taste, Dead Alive. They were becoming culty. They were becoming underground. And he was starting to slowly slip into America and getting in with New Line Cinema, the house that Freddie built, right? It's New Line Cinema, I believe.
Yes, New Line.
They built this thing, and Robert Shea, the huge producer of this, knew that, you know, Freddy Krueger was amazing. So he was using this to produce more and more bigger films. So the young and upcoming Peter Jackson, they gave him the script, and he handed in a draft where Freddy Krueger is down and out, and he is becoming weak, and kids are actually fighting back and beating him up. So much that they're actually paying to take this trip into the dream universe to just beat Freddy Krueger up. That was a script that he handed in.
Okay.
There was also another bizarre script where they wanted to continue from the last movie series, and they were going to bring back Kincaid and Joey, and also the one with the heroine. What's her name?
Taryn.
Yeah, we're going to bring them back as Dream Police. They wrote a script where they were going to be dream powered by their things. So there was going to be the like sound, rage, and something like something along the line. They were going to be power cops.
Well, I would definitely like to see them again.
I'm glad they didn't do this because having the victims come back kind of takes away from their deaths and it really makes it even cheesier. These scripts kept coming in and they kept just saying, this isn't working. Mm-hmm. What do we do? So they just had to quickly come up with some scenarios. Now, the director has admitted that in the long run, she wishes she would have made this a horror film. But at the time, there was a lot of success going on with Twin Peaks.
Okay.
And they said they wanted a Twin Peaks-like Nightmare on Elm Street. And also,
is that what
with the 90s love of Hanna-Barbera and Looney Tunes.
Okay.
So this movie is a bizarre mix of the Looney Tunes and Twin Peaks, and it does feel it in every single scene.
I can't take it. Yeah. Honestly, every single scene. It's like more Looney Tunes than Twin Peaks, though.
There's a lot of Twin Peaks references and ideas that are not, they're so underdeveloped and so they didn't know what they were doing. Now, here's a huge reveal. They dropped 40 minutes from this film.
Oh my God.
They cut out 40 minutes of explanation and backstories and more buildup.
I needed the backstories.
Tell me about it.
Who the fuck are these people?
They cut this down to a purpose, 1 hour and 29 minutes.
Oh my God.
Not even like a full length film. And this is the goodbye to a character. And they cut it all out. And people are struggling. There's people online who have taken supplemental versions of this film that have shown up, like Laserdisc, and also a German television version of this movie, where they've found some scenes. Tried to piece them together. And nobody knows exactly because the footage is gone. So no one knows what the 40 minutes exactly is, but there are shots of things where people are like, what was this going to be? What was that supposed to be?
Wow. So it doesn't even exist in like a special edition Blu-ray or anything
like
that?
No one can find it.
Oh my God.
This is the same thing that happened with Friday the 13th, part 7, I believe. Which one is the one with the new blood? With the telekinesis girl, where they deleted all of the gore from the movie because they were afraid they were going to get an X.
Uh-huh.
So they deleted half the gore, and now it's like it got lost in a fire or something.
Mm-hmm.
So they can't get all the footage properly. They like accidentally deleted it or something, and they don't know where to get it, so they can't fix the film. So there's no uncut version that everybody wants. And then people have talked about it, like, oh, all that gore is out there. And it sucks because there's some amazing scenes in there that should be really gory that are gone.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing goes here. So no one knows. And I would love to know what that uncut version of this movie would have been, because there is a lot of bizarre things going on here. And you can tell that scenes just jump real quick into a new scene.
It does. It's like only, you know what it is? It's like only moments of things happening. Like nothing really ties together. It's just scenes. It's just random scenes. I mean, like the opening of this film on the airplane with the kid.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it jumps from that, and he ends up right at. Okay, can we just talk about this orphanage? I have so much to say.
I guess let's get into the plot now that I've set some of that up in motion, so you understand what's going on behind the scenes as this got produced.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about the plot a little bit. The movie starts off, like you just mentioned, with a character waking up in an airplane. And we're basically doing the
Nightmare at
20,000 feet from Twilight Zone. We're seeing this kid realizing that something's wrong. He feels sick and he doesn't like on the plane. And a little girl tells him, he's coming for you and he's going to use you.
Which means what? Like, that goes nowhere.
what it means, exactly what's going to happen in the next scenes. So we see him in the Looney Tunes version of a dream sequence. Now, you can complain about this, but I actually think this is a lot of fun. I mean, at this point in time, Freddy Krueger has become more of a joke as each movie has gone on. I would say 1 and 2, he was spooky. And 3, he starts becoming a little more comical. But 3 is probably my favorite of the whole franchise. I know that some people would disagree, but I do like that comical Freddy. And I think that we have come to peak Looney Tunes Freddy Krueger. And I think that this entire opening with him torturing this kid as in comedy format, like stand-up comedy killer, where he is becoming the Wicked Witch and he is traveling around the house and he's saying, "Your soul, I'll get you, my pretty, and your little soul too." I don't know what it is. It's stupid fun.
I disagree.
You think it's all bad? I think it's kind of funny.
I think it's so ridiculous. I mean, I don't get me wrong. One of my favorite things about Freddy is his one-liners. He comes across with the one-liners like nobody's business. He's so good with it. But he's also able to be scary at the same time. This is just too slapsticky for me. This is supposed to be Nightmare on Elm Street.
So with the last two, he became like a comic book superhero. He became a ninja, and he like had his flying glove around to fight a kid that knew karate. He became like a motorcycle or a pizza chef, and he was eating people's souls on a pizza. I think the only problem here is that the goofiness is still around and it's still cheesy fun. But I think the problem, the thing that's missing here, is the horror aspect.
It's completely non-existent.
It's not gritty. It's not dark. The movie is very 90s. And that's a huge problem. And then this is peak what I have problems with the 90s cinema, where they're trying to do new special effects that they didn't understand yet. They are using better film stock. You know, the color grade is always this weird orangey earth tone. And this movie has all of that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it really subtracts from the silly fun that is happening. So I actually think it's silly fun. I think the stuff with him, I think what really comes down to is I like Robert Englund being silly.
I love Robert Englund, but I think that he can give us his one-liners and also be scary at the same time. Like Freddy versus Jason, I thought that was great because he was, you know, making his one-liner jokes, but also he still looked terrifying, and he still was terrifying.
Yeah, and that's funny because this director really just knocking Freddy versus Jason, and the director of that movie not knowing the lore behind the franchises that he's doing, and that director, I think Ronnie Yu, he stated him, he didn't care about the franchise's lore. He was trying to make a movie. And I think that he successfully does that in Freddy vs. Jason. But here's something that I think is really funny. These huge franchises of horror movies that we've been doing, they're all fucking messes. Can we accept this?
I mean, there's a lot of messes, yeah. Especially in Halloween with all that going on.
I think I really think that of the ones we've done so far, Halloween is the least. Nah. I have the least grievances with.
No, think again, because you didn't.
I think that Freddy movies are really messy. I like 1, 2, and 3. I know some people don't like 2. 2 has grown on me a lot. I am seeing the things that might have been intended, and they're really interesting, and there's incredible gore effects in 2. But 4, 5, they're messy. They're okay, just a mess.
I happen to like the Dream Master, and not so much the Dream Child, but the Dream Master. I like that. I actually was rooting for Alice and Sheila and all the characters in that movie.
You should, right?
But I was rooting for them, but in this movie, I didn't root for anyone because I didn't care.
Yeah, but I was just talking about the franchise as a whole. I'm not talking about just like this specific movie. I mean, I'm just saying that I think that like people hold these dear, but I think they're all culty, kind of trashy films.
I mean, they're not without their problems. I mean, they all have issues. They're not perfect. It's, yeah. Some of them are a hot mess more than others.
I would just say that 4, 5 and then this are in the same league to me as just messy, weird films that have some moments.
Yeah.
Throughout them.
Well, that you just described the Tall Man. I mean.
Oh, well, yeah, we're not going to get into movies, Phantasm like, because yeah, that's like, a whole thing. But Jason. Jason right. movies are schlock. They're really messy. I don't actually think any of them are great. Some people like say that they're like the greatest. No.
Well, no. I like part two the best, and I always like part two.
Yeah, I mean, we like some. I like four. I think four is a good film. But I'm saying that these movies are kind of messy. Like, I think the ones, especially Texas Chainsaw Massacre 1 and Nightmare on Elm Street 1, are pretty good standard horror films. That are actually pretty good movies as well.
Yeah, those are cringeworthy. They make me squirm. They're so gross. So yeah, I appreciate that. Like they bring the gore. I mean, although I feel like in the first one it was a little toned down.
In which one?
In Texas Chainsaw, was there like a lot of gore? I don't recall. I don't.
No,
think
that's
there
the
was.
Cool thing about it. They think there's a lot of gore there, but there isn't, and that's what's so good about Texas Chainsaw Massacre 1. It is just well done. Mm-hmm. It makes you think you're seeing things. That's what's brilliant about that. But I think that the Freddy movies, as they've gone on, they're pretty messy. And that's what I'm trying to build up with this movie. This silliness in this opening here is kind of, to me, it's like, oh, it's just par for the course. You know what I'm saying? Like, we should know this is coming. And it shouldn't be a shock. And it shouldn't be these things that were like, oh, it's so bad because the last ones weren't that good either. That's what I'm trying to get at.
No, but I just feel like this director and the writer, whoever did this, I feel like they just missed the mark because there's so much about it. Like, blatantly, Nancy says in part 3, Dream Warriors, that they're the last of the Elm Street children, right? But in the beginning of this movie, the main character is told that he's the last one of the Elm Street children.
Yeah, because of after 4 and 5, Joe. You're not thinking about it properly.
It's after 4 and 5,
right? 4 and 5 have more kids. You get what I'm saying?
Because Alice, okay.
There's more kids. They keep adding more and more kids. Yeah. They were the Nancy's referencing that they're the kids of the Elm Street parents that burned him. When she's saying that they're the last of.
All right.
And by the way, that lore does not check at all because those kids are too young. And we kept questioning, how old is Nancy? How did they have these kids? Were they pregnant with them and when they burned him? None of that makes sense.
No, none of it really does make sense at all.
The franchise is a mess. And we're going to get into it because I have some real big grievances with some of the ideas here. But I wanted to point out this kid. The main kid that we're following in this movie is played by Sean Greenblatt. And this is a fun fact. We have not seen him in anything else. But what we have seen is his daughter's work. Because it turns out that he's the father of Ariana Greenblatt.
Yeah.
Who is, you know who she is?
I've heard her name before.
Yeah, she is young Ahsoka in the Ahsoka TV show. She is in Infinity War as the young Gamora. She was the little girl in Barbie. She is in Love and Monsters. And she played Tiny Tina in Borderlands. And she was also in a movie we did as the main actress, 65.
Oh my God.
So this girl.
All you had to say was Tiny Tina.
I just wanted to get through it because everybody has seen this actress in almost everything.
Wow.
And everybody is like, when I went to the comments to say like, oh, his daughter is very well known.
Wow.
Was like the trivia on him.
Okay.
He is hilariously over the top in this film.
Fred Heights. Don't be a pussy.
I would say that everybody in this movie is extremely over the top.
Not again. He's not going to get me again. Nothing is going to make me get off this bed. Damn it! this house.
Everybody, Freddy. If you think Freddy, he's the one who should be over the top, everybody in this film is over the top. So this kid, his reactions to everything are so funny. When he is getting tortured by Freddy in this dream scenario that is all cartoon, he falls down a hill for what goes on for like the entire credits. And it's so funny because you can clearly see that, first off, it looks like he's really doing it. Second off, you can see that he clearly stops a few times and then forces himself to keep rolling.
Yeah.
What I love is that when he finally gets to the end of the street, he's on a street that is leading out of
Springwood, yeah.
Yeah, which is the Freddy universe. It takes place in Springwood, Ohio. And he's at the border leaving Springwood. But he turns around and sees a bus pass booth. Now, this is funny because the guy in the booth giving the ticket out, which is clearly Freddy Krueger as another person, is actually Robert J.
One ticket. Down trip. Hurry up, boy. You don't want to miss the bus.
The producer.
That's funny. Yeah.
So he gets his little bit in there. He's also the husband of Lin Shaye, who is like an iconic horror actress or iconic actress who's just been in a lot of horror films, and including the first Freddy Krueger movie. Yeah, he gives him like a pass to get out of town. And at that moment when he gives him the pass, he gets hit by a bus and thrown out of Springwood into the next town or whatever. And he hits a rock when he lands out of it. And Freddy's saying he is going to help him leave Springwood. Because apparently in this universe and this movie is conjuring up, Freddy can't leave this town. For some reason, he can only affect... Which, the more we watch this series, we also watched Freddy vs. Jason recently. What we've learned is that Freddy... If you lose, he loses people talking about him. He virtually loses power. So he wants to spread the fear. So he wants this kid to go outside of this town and spread his name, letting him leave. At least that's what we are establishing here.
Which is very un-Freddy-like as it is, but okay.
Kind of checks out for Freddy versus Jason as well. The whole establishing you have to talk about him and the whole scenario of the drug in the universe where in three they're trying to drug the kids so they don't dream because that gives him power. It's very Freddy-like.
Do you know the name of the drug?
Hypnosol or something like that?
Hypnosil.
Hypnosil. So, yeah, I mean, so in this universe, it kind of checks out. I'm like, okay with this stuff. But when he gets thrown out, of course, he now has amnesia. And he ends up in a foster home where we learn our other characters, who they all are. They're quickly established.
Okay. And can we just talk about how there's only three other people in this foster home?
There's others in the scene where he's in the bed and he's doing bottles of beer on the wall and someone's like throwing pillows up. Those are not our main kids that are with him.
No, but it's like a group home for troubled kids.
We're only focusing on three kids because they sneak in the bus. So, yeah we have... This movie's full of cameos, but one of the kids, the most famous one, is Brecken Meyer, who's known for as the co-creator of Robot Chicken, and he also had this amazing band called Love Burger.
I've been to four of Love Burger's concerts, and they're fucking
well. They never play more than one song.
I know.
Before they break up,
and as long as they keep playing that one song, I'm happy.
And Brecken Meyer famously dresses like Austin Powers in the band. And then the other guy wants to dress like Hootie. You know, that's his thing.
Yep. I get it. Wasn't Brecken Meyer also in Rat Race? I love that movie.
Yes, he was. We have Brecken Meyer. Who is the most famous of the bunch? There is another actress. I cannot remember the character's name, but this actress.
Are you talking about Maggie? Or the blonde? Zane?
Yeah, the blonde.
Oh, the blonde. No, that's not Zane.
Tracy. Yeah, Tracy. We haven't seen this actress in anything. I haven't seen it. She was actually a Dallas Cowboy cheerleader, apparently.
Really?
Yeah, that was surprising to me. But we see her, and she is insane. in this movie. She is so over the top.
Mm-hmm.
Her acting is times 11.
Mm-hmm.
Come move this, bitch!
This is my dream, and I do what I want!
She apparently doesn't like being touched. That's her thing. She doesn't like people touching her, and she'll fight back. These are all troubled kids. There's also Carlos, who is played by Ricky Dean Logan. This is funny, but it's a callback to one of our other episodes. We did The Fantastic Four. And in that movie, I referenced how there's a random scene where a busboy tries to give food to the thing in the alleyway. And I go, I know that busboy. That's Carlos from Freddy's Dead.
Oh my God.
Okay.
Yeah, but doesn't he encounter the jeweler?
Well, at first he goes and hides in an alleyway, and he gets Carlos from Freddy's Dead comes out of a restaurant and sees him and is like, "You're a freak," and runs off.
So these are our three main kids in this troubled youth home, and they all have problems, and they all have their own situations. Carlos has a hearing aid. Tracy has, she doesn't like being touched, like we already said. And Breckenmeyer has a father who's very rich and wants him to be like him. Angsty kid who's like, no, I don't want to be a part of your world.
He's a stoner. He's going to be defiant.
Yeah. You know? So we have those three. And our main, I guess, I don't know what you call her. She's like the main counselor.
Mm-hmm.
She is our main character besides this other character that we have just met, who is now known as John Doe, the guy that got thrown out, the kid. Mm-hmm. But we have our main actress, who is actually Billy Zane's older sister.
Mm-hmm.
Her name is Lisa Zane.
Have we seen her in anything else? Because I don't recall.
No. I got to point this out, because for the longest time, in my mind, I reset these characters. And so I believed for the longest time this was Carrie Ann Moss.
Wow.
When I watched this the last time before just now, I remember when I was a kid, I went, oh, Carrie Ann Moss was in that movie. And also Lawrence Fishburne. Because I think I mixed three. Because Lawrence Fishburne is in three.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
he's the orderly.
Yeah, he's the orderly. Yeah. I don't know why I mixed him up. Because we also meet, I guess, our therapist of this house. Yaphet Kotto, he plays Doc in this movie. He's in friggin' everything.
Mm-hmm.
He's amazing. He's in the original Alien.
Mm-hmm. He is.
Yeah, he's a great actor too. It's shocking that he's in this movie because he doesn't have anything to do here.
Mm-mm.
So these are our main characters. And now what we're establishing here is that the three kids in the home, Carlos, Tracy, and Breckenmeyer, well, I don't even know his name. They say it enough, too. I think I should know it.
Spencer's wasted at this old house.
Hey, Spence.
Super Spencer!
Oh, shit. Spencer! Spencer!
Spencer! The monthly man! Spencer, get out, man! Spencer! The monthly man! Spencer, you stupid stoner!
Well, they're trying to find a way to sneak out of the home. They want to get out of here. And the new John Doe was just brought in. Mm-hmm. So they're having a plan where they're going to use the truck. They're going to sneak into the truck. And when they drive it out of town, they're going to be hidden in the back and they're going to get out. That's their three of these kids' plans to get out of here.
Now, why is Maggie, who is Zane, why is she taking this kid to this town to try and jog his memory to see who he is?
So we got to talk about this.
Because they never call the police.
The police actually find him in the alleyway and dump him at the home.
That's right.
Because they don't want to do paperwork. So they dump this kid at this home and leave it up to this therapist to figure out what's going on with him.
That sounds legit.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. I mean, it actually kind of does.
This kid could be mentally ill or have some kind of amnesia.
That's why they
don't take
him
to a hospital or anything, like a real hospital. But okay. Anyway, let's move on.
So she's trying to establish now. She's interviewing him, basically, and asking who he is. I love this. He says he has amnesia, and he doesn't remember anything for the last couple days, and she says a couple weeks. Then she says, so where are you from? And he is flip out. He's like, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm from nowhere, Idaho.
I have amnesia. I don't remember anything. Like, what don't you get, you know? And I'm like, wow, she's really good at her job. She does have his personal belongings that he was found with. One of the things that he was found with is a newspaper clipping of...
It just says Kruger woman.
Kruger woman.
Who knows what? Because he can't see. There's no... There's fine print.
Yeah. Something about a Kruger woman. And there's a... In the background, there's a water tower. And when she sees the water tower in the picture, it kind of clicks with her. Something seems familiar with her. She doesn't know what yet. So she's trying to help him and piece together his life. And he says, all I know is I can't fall asleep. Because if I fall asleep, I don't think I'm ever going to wake up. And I don't know why I think this. All I know is I'm the last. I think I'm the only survivor of where I came from. And she's like, okay, we got to figure this out. Why is that happening? And because they have a Kruger article in his pocket that is from Springwood, she assumes, well, maybe if we drive over to Springwood, it'll jog your memory. But she also has ulterior motives because she is having weird dreams after she sees the water tower in the picture. She has a dream of a little girl playing in the backyard with her father, but we don't see the faces of the people. And all we hear is, I will tell.
That little girl is so fucking cute, man.
She's cute.
She's so cute. And she cries in this movie. I feel so sad.
Yeah. She's adorable.
Reminds me of our baby niece.
But so we don't really see what's happening there, but she's also intrigued. So she's going to use this kid to not only find out what's going on with him, but to find out why she's having these memories. So they do. They drive over there. And on the way there, he's starting to fall asleep in the car, and he sees the little girl in the street that she's dreaming of. So he jerks the wheel and has like almost an accident. And the three idiots are hiding in the back, so they fly up to the front. And they're like, what are you doing here? Oh, we were trying to sneak out and all this stuff, and it didn't work out. So they're like, we're going to go into this town. And they get into this town to talk, and they all get out. And they get out at what is, I guess, a state fair that's happening for no particular reason whatsoever in a dead town.
Yeah, can I state something? I was terrified when I saw this fair.
The cockroaches on the pizza. A
fucking murderous clown. There's no patrons. Chain smoking. Yes, there's no patrons there. And he's trying to sell 2-for-1 balloons to who? I don't know. But everyone looks like a freaking mess.
Yeah, this is the Twin Peaks stuff, where everything's supposed to be a weird town and bizarre people are in it. And they're even playing almost a close theme to Twin Peaks in these scenes.
See, I didn't even think about that. All I kept thinking was...
Once you see it, though, and you think about it, you're like...
This is gross.
See some of this. It is weird, too. All the people here, I love that there's an old man playing bumper cars by himself.
Yeah, he's riding around.
And he keeps going, woo-wee.
And I understand now, obviously, because there's no children. There's no children in the town. Then we know why.
Yeah. And so, when they all see the kids, they start yelling at them, go away, get out of here, we don't want you here. And in particular, Breckenmeyer goes into a phone booth to try to call, because they're trying to call back to the house to get someone to come pick them up.
Yeah, at the shelter.
But the phone doesn't work. But at the same time, this is where we get one of our cameos. Roseanne Barr shows up to smuggle smother the kids in love, because she hasn't seen a kid, and she misses her children. And she's saying, I'll take care of you. It won't be like the last time. I won't let him get you. And that's when Tom Arnold shows up to pull her away. At the time, they were husband and wife.
Mm-hmm.
Tom Arnold says, don't you know, kids bring him. Right. You have to get away from them. And then at that point, a bell is rung in town. Now, you think that this is going to come back, but it doesn't. No one references the bell of the church.
It's like, why? Okay. First of all, I didn't get all those stupid cameo crap. Like, why do we need these two idiots? Like, it was stupid. I was like, this is...
At the time, they were very huge. Roseanne was a very big show at the time.
And I get it.
They were putting cameos from Friends.
But it's a comedy show. You know what I mean? Like,
it was just like, oh my God, Roseanne, like, that's weird.
Yeah, it was weird. It was,
it's weird.
It was just off-putting and not needed.
But they, Roseanne and Tom Arnold, do add to that weird Twin Peaks-y thing that they were thinking they should do.
That which is true. I mean, they definitely fit into that circus atmosphere, that creepy circus atmosphere that was going on in that town.
Yes. And the kids now decide, well, for some reason, Maggie, I think that's her name.
She's the, yeah.
She's the therapist. Yeah. She tells them, take the car and go back and tell them to come pick us up later.
Okay, so what really is shocking to me
is she's going to give three kids that were trying to run out of town,
delinquents,
yeah,
free access to a van, which, by the way,
that they were already trying to smuggle out.
Yeah, can we please talk about this van? Now, I know that the center for the shelter or whatever is in, like, the total ghetto.
Yeah.
But it's, like, got graffiti all over it. Who is funding this operation?
What I like is it's almost like the mutton cuts from Dumb and Dumber. Instead of, like, having a thing on it on the outside, inside there's a curtain.
Yeah.
There's a raggedy-ass patchy curtain
it's like in the back of them.
All I kept thinking was the people in the back going, see.
Checking about the people he picks up.
He picks up.
Dumb and Dumber. Oh, my God.
We usually don't pick up hitchhikers, but you look you're a trustworthy person. Then they stop and they go, hey, more people need to get picked up. Pick them up. I love that so much.
Oh, my God.
So they get in the van, but the problem is they can't get out of town. For some reason, they're caught in a loop. They keep showing back up to a statue.
Okay, this is why I asked you.
Well, the movie kind of tries to make a statement about this later on, where they have a line of dialogue that says, Freddy is warping reality around him.
Yes, okay, fine, but that would implicate somebody
is sleeping. Well, one person is during this sequence. While they're driving around in a circle, Carlos is in the back, and he's asked for the map. And the map keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger. It's so funny. And then when it finally gets to an open page, it says, you're fucked.
Carlos! I asked you for the map.
What? Yeah, well, the map says we're fucked.
So they're like going around in circles, but like, I feel like, is this literally like Dream Warriors rules? So like, if one person's asleep, he can drag everyone in general vicinity into the dream with him? Because
I have many thoughts about
they
this.
They are all in this loop. So how can they all be in a loop if they're all not asleep?
Well, if he's asleep, Carlos, then they were warping reality around them. And they're saying that somehow he is affecting the outside world, because later on, well, we're going to get into it a little bit more as we get on, but they finally stop at a house because they are so tired and they've been driving forever and they can't. They finally find a house and she's like, look, it's abandoned. Let's go in there. These are people who have lived on the streets anyways, these three kids. So they go in this house and it when they go inside, it shapes into Nancy's house from the original, the Freddy Krueger house. And it's like weird. They filmed a dollhouse exploding. It's so weird looking. And they're inside. So it's so weird. He warped reality so much that he made the outside of the house look like another house. It's bizarre. But they go in there and Carlos decides to go to sleep on a dusty old bed.
First of all, I got so upset for this poor actor because there was like a blood-stained pillow. It was like the most filthy thing. Like, I would not want to lie on this thing if I was an actor. But the fact that this stupid-ass character was like, okay, you know, like he used to live in crack dens or something. He's used to it.
Yeah.
I don't get that vibe from Carlos. I just think
because he's nice.
Like a troubled kid and he hasn't done anything too rotten.
No.
So what's wrong? Nothing. He didn't do anything bad. So I feel bad for him. Like, he doesn't belong in this situation.
Well, we get in this dream sequence of his, we get to see his backstory, which is his abusive mother used to stick a Q-tip into his ear and it made him deaf.
That's why he has a
hearing aid. It is disgusting.
It's pretty disturbing. So we find out that his mother turns into Freddy and he takes like a huge Q-tip and jams it through his ears, like right through his head. And I was like squirming because I can't stand stuff with ears.
Yeah. I love that he says, Carlos, lend me your ear. And he cuts his ear off. And this is when Carlos goes through a whole thing where he gets a new hearing aid from Freddy, which is like a face hugger from Aliens grows out of his ear. I kind of like it. It kind of looks cool. I will say that this movie has some of the worst accidental special effects in it I've seen in a long time. It does. And seeing it now again, I'm seeing them even more. Like, your eye starts getting trained after a while watching bad movies. And you, I can see everything. So I see so many sleight of hands, things like that, that should have worked better but are too sloppy. Because this is like a first-time director. So, I mean, I can understand where that's coming from, but $11 million, it should look a little better than this, especially since the other Nightmare on Elm Streets look way better.
I thought the special effects in this movie were trash.
Yeah. I like Carlos's ear thing. I like the pumping of the head and everything, and it has, like, the arms that come out of it into his head. It's one of the better effects, and as it goes on, Freddy starts getting funnier. He's sneaking around him, telling us to be quiet while he's sneaking around Carlos as he can't hear anything. Well, when he does get his new ear, his hearing aid, he can now hear things too well. So Freddy throws pins at him, and they all hit the ground like bullets. And Carlos is like, ah. But then Freddy comes down, and he pulls out a chalkboard that he keeps expanding.
It was terrible. It hurt my soul.
I love Robert Englund here. He keeps going, Oh. I think it's funny. I don't know. It makes me laugh. And he scratches his fingers all over the chalkboard. One of those bad special effects is you can see the little rubber blocks on the knives, on the fingers. So you can see that he's not really making the scratching noises.
Oh. I didn't look. I didn't like the sound at all.
Well, this makes Carlos's head completely explode.
Which is the only decent special effect in this movie, in my opinion.
And what I heard was, like, Robert Shay came up to her while they were filming the movie in the scene, and he's like, you know, it'd be really cool if Carlos's head explodes like puzzle pieces. And she's like, damn, that is really cool. But are you going to give me more money to try to reshoot this? No. And I'm in the middle of the scene now. Like, I can't do it now, but that does sound really cool.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't mind this. I don't mind this head explosion. I don't mind the bladder effects on his face pumping, like getting bigger and bubbling as he's hearing the noise.
That was my favorite thing about the movie.
Yeah, that one's okay. I there's a couple things here I'm like, oh, that was inventive. That was funny. That's silly. So Carlos is now gone. And Tracy can't find him, but at the same time, when she's looking for him, Spencer decides to get stoned on the couch. And that's when he sees the television, and he sees the spirit world, and he sees Carlos trying to tell him not to fall asleep, but he falls asleep anyways. And what he sees next is Johnny Depp doing the...
This is your brain on drugs.
And Johnny Depp actually came back because, they said, you know, hey, you should come and do this movie. Do a cameo. And he said, hell yeah, this is the movie that got me my start. Plus, the director worked on Crybaby.
That makes sense. That's probably also $10 million of the $11 million budget.
No, at the time, I think he just came on and did a cameo. I don't think it cost anything.
Really?
Yeah, I think he just did it for them.
Well, that's kind of cool.
He said, this is the movie that got me my start. Of course I'll come back.
All right, once again, this is your brain. This is your brain. On drugs. Questions?
Yeah! What are you on? Looks like a frying pan and some eggs to me. Hey, Spence. Let's trip out.
Oh, so he sucks Spencer into the TV.
They play Indigo de Vida. The whole psychedelic cartoon comes out of him, takes him in. I kind of like this, too.
I hate it.
I like that.
I hate it.
I think happens next is way worse, Joe.
No, he's bouncing around like a freaking video game, like Super Mario, bouncing around in the TV. I just can't take it. I hated it.
I like the psychedelic thing. I liked him messing with him, bringing him in with the drugs. I think it's fun. But something better should have happened here. And unfortunately, this is the 90s hitting us again. where he's playing a video game controlling Spencer being chased by his father as a tennis player. And Spencer is, in real life, is jumping all over the house.
It's out and out goofy.
Yeah.
Okay. It's embarrassingly goofy. Yeah. I'm like, what is this? Okay. Is this a Zucker Brothers movie or is this a horror film?
It reminds me very much of the part in the Twilight Zone movie where the kid is controlling the house and he's making like all the video game and cartoon stuff happen.
Mm-hmm.
And it's virtually the same sound effects.
Yeah.
It's reminding me of
doing,
that.
Doing, yeah. Doing, doing. Yeah. I can't.
So at the same time, Tracy runs out and is able to find Maggie and John Doe. They're at the house. They're searching the town. And what they find out is they find an orphanage. Or is that what it is?
It's an orphanage, yeah.
And there's a woman there that's also batshit crazy and very Twin Peaksy. Again, they're playing that type of music still. And she references that she knows him. And she knows all of the children that are there. And she looks at Maggie and she's like, I even know you. But then she goes crazily, I know all these kids here.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I think the movie... Now, this is where John Doe believes that he is the son. Because they find paintings, they find references that Freddy had a child.
Right, so he thinks he's a Krueger.
So he thinks he's Freddy Krueger's son.
Yeah.
And
because he doesn't know who he is.
Yeah, and now the movie's telling us this, and I think they could have done this better... But unfortunately, they make it very apparent that it's not him, that it's her.
Mm-hmm.
And because of her flashbacks and her questions, I don't even think there's a moment here where we doubt it. Do you? Like, you automatically know it's
no,
her.
No, but can I just say that the fact that Freddy Krueger has a kid, like, it's just, doesn't that kind of, like, throw a wrench in the entire series? Like, he's a child murderer. That's just weird.
Well, a lot of serial killers and child murderers, unfortunately, have families.
I mean, yes, I do understand that. I do, I know, but I don't know. It just seems weird that they would throw that in on this movie, the sixth movie in the series.
All right, now let's talk about the timeline.
Yeah, please.
When did Freddy get killed?
Okay.
What year?
So, if you go by, I'm trying to do the math myself.
Yes.
Okay, so Maggie is supposed to be what? I'm going to say she's in her 30s now.
I mean, that's a question. Well, this kid thinks he's the son. Now, he is a kid.
He's no more than 17 years old.
Exactly. So why does he think he is? Because Freddy died in the 60s.
Well, when Mrs. Thompson is explaining to Nancy Thompson... about, you know, he can't come after you because mommy killed him.
Mm-hmm.
I feel as though Nancy had already been born at that point, and Nancy was 16 years old, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that would mean...
No, I don't know. Nancy was too young to remember, but she, in the deleted scenes of the original, she had a sister. The sister was killed by Freddy.
Okay. So, but Nancy...
They were too young to remember.
In the original movie was 16 years old. So if
they killed... Oh, I see what you're saying. You're saying in the past when they killed her, she was how old? You know,
when they killed Freddy, then she must have been, what, a year old? A
couple years.
Yeah, because it's 1984, correct?
That's when that movie takes place, right?
Yeah.
So it's 84. They killed him in the 60s.
So
right?
It would have been 68 or 69.
I think he died in 68.
Okay.
Okay. So if he died in 68, and this movie, now remember this, it says the beginning of this film says 10 years later. Does it tell us what 10 years later from is? No.
No.
But we're assuming it is 10 years after 91 when the movie released.
Okay.
Because. It's supposed to be.
That wouldn't make sense for the hairdos.
It says, I mean, 10 years later.
They're all.
10 God years later, if it's after the Dream Child, that came out in 89. So
oh,
we're going to say.
Jesus.
Yeah. So 10 years later, we don't really know what from. Now, I have a thing to maybe blow your mind a little bit because I have a theory.
Okay.
And I think this theory is also online as well. Now, John Doe is not the son of Freddy Krueger.
Nope.
But who is he the son of?
Who the fuck knows?
Do we not know? Is he not the dream child?
Well, that wouldn't make sense either. That wouldn't make sense either. He's 17.
We don't know when if he's 17. Alice... He could be 15. He could be 16. We don't know.
When did Alice give birth to him?
If it was in 89, was he already born, or does he get born in 89, or does he...
Okay, the dream child took place in 1989. You are correct. So if he that would make him a year old. 2 years old.
In dream child. He's 2 years?
No, he was just born in 1989.
Okay, well, this takes place... So 91 is when the movie releases, so that would be 2 years. And then it's 10 years later.
So they're trying to say he's 12? No, he's not
12. I'm just saying that, well, we don't know when this is 10 years after. So it could be whatever. He could be 16. This could be 10 years after he's 5 years or 6 years old.
Okay, I hate that.
I'm just saying, because, and the only reason I'm bringing this up is, why is Freddy able to use him, and why is he the last child of Elm Street? Who is his parents that we don't know?
They just should have brought Alice back.
Well, they wanted to. They wanted to bring Lisa Wilcox back. Is that who
played Wilcox? It? Yeah.
Wilcox. They wanted her to bring back, but they couldn't get the to work out. And it was originally intended that he was the dream child. I God looked into this. It. I'm like, I think that this kid is supposed to be the dream child because, and the reason I think this is, he can bring people into his dreams.
Yeah, well, that doesn't work out too well for him in this anyway.
But you know what I'm saying? Because that was the power of his mother.
Right.
So.
This thing is a convoluted mess.
So I'm just pointing this out because I think it's a cool thing. Maybe he's supposed to be the dream child. So, okay. So Freddy's using him to, we find out now is that that she's his daughter. We kind of don't fully know that yet, but it's so easy to find out. So John Doe is fully thinking that he is the son of Freddy Krueger. So he, when Tracy comes and runs into them, tells him that something's going on with Spencer and Carlos is missing. So they go back to the house. When they go into the house, they see Spencer going nuts all over the house.
He's boing, boing, boinging.
And at this point, Maggie doesn't believe that this is possible. And then John Doe's like, is it not possible? Look at that. You know? So he's like, we have to go into the dream and we have to stop him. We have to save Spencer in the dreams and we have to stop Freddy. And I can do it because I'm family.
Oh my God.
So
no.
I love, like, Maggie's like, oh no, are you sure? Her acting is...
It's oof, bad.
It's bad. So he makes Tracy knock him out, which some of these things I like. What's weird and questionable here is why the bodies disappear in the real world. That's questionable. I don't really understand that, especially since Spencer's jumping all over the house.
Right.
It would be cool if they showed him fall through the table when Tracy knocks him out.
Mm-hmm.
And then you see that he disappears, but in the shot later on, we could see him knocked out under the table. Like, we are seeing that he just entered the dream
world. They don't even try to make it reasonable.
No, but I'm just saying, it's weird, but they keep disappearing in this world. It's so odd. So he goes into the dream world, and Tracy says the doctor back at their home has taught her how to enter the dream world peacefully. Spiritually, so she's able to meditate herself into the dream world after knocking his ass out into the dream world. So they go to try to help Spencer in the dream world, but when they take Freddy's controller away, Joe, he has the power glove.
He has the fucking power glove. You can't beat a power glove.
Now I had a friend who had a power glove.
That shit didn't work.
You couldn't do shit. I will say this one thing happened. I landed the damn Top Gun airplane. And I know I'm not the only one, because I remember the angry video game nerd also did it. I don't know what it was about the power glove, but it was the only time I could land that damn plane in Top Gun.
Oh my God, that thing was $100 piece of shit.
I know,
shit.
And my friend had it. It was great. Was it that much back then?
Yeah, man, it was. God, that's why I couldn't. I never had that thing. Much. My friend had one. I'm like, this thing's a piece of junk. Yeah,
no one used it. That's Nintendo for you. All plastic pieces of crap that used once.
Stupid Duck Hunt gun too. That shit didn't work either. It didn't work at all.
Mine did.
I mean, my score sucked.
Oh, I was great at Duck Hunt.
I mean, I like Duck Hunt.
I did like Duck Hunt.
The gun never worked.
Someone bashed it around.
No, man.
Gary probably got it.
He broke everything.
He probably did what every other kid did and put it against the screen and click on it.
He did.
So,
no, we would just, we didn't have that goddamn thing. I think one of our friends had it, but like we would go to the Circle K and play Tubin.
Oh, nice. Nice.
We'd have like a dollar in quarters that were fucking awesome. Yeah. And we played Tubin.
Oh, I would go game. Just to play so many X-Men and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Oh my goodness.
They only had one.
Oh, the Simpsons arcade.
They had one game in the Circle K. It was Tubin.
That's awesome.
That's what we did.
That's great. Back to the movie.
Anyways.
That was a side quest.
What happened to Breckenmeyer in this? He dies? I don't remember.
When he has the power glove, he makes Breckenmeyer go up to the stairs and then fall down, and he rips a hole into hell.
That's right.
And he falls through it. And Maggie's like, I couldn't save him. I didn't really try, but I couldn't save him. So they get out of there. But they still can't wake up John Doe, who's still in the dream. And they get him in the back of the truck and drive out of Springwood. As they're driving, before they get out of Springwood, John Doe's dream, he wakes up again in his house. And it's like all these jokes about how, oh, the house, I'm not getting out of this damn bed this time. And it's all sets on fire, so he has to jump out the window. When he jumps out the window, he has a parachute for some reason. And he pulls it and gets it, and he's falling from like space.
This is the comical shit that I just can't take.
I think it's so freaking stupid. I think it's stupid fun. I just think it's so cheesy that it's kind of like endearingly
but
fun.
But you start realizing that you're not watching a horror movie at all. This is a joke.
A doubt. It's not a horror movie at all in this one. It's more of a comedy.
It was embarrassing.
Well, Freddy is at the top of the parachute and he comes down and he tells John Doe, you think you're my son? You're not.
It kills him.
I don't have a son. So he cuts his parachute and lets him fall. And then down below, like Looney Tunes, like the Wile E. Coyote, he pushes a board with spikes into the middle of the road for him to land on.
It is quite literally Wile E. Coyote.
It's Wile E. Coyote.
Like, this is, I can't believe I'm sitting through this right now. Yeah. I can't.
Well, again, I like that they show the John Doe in the real world and you see the holes. And bleeding holes in his body, like there's pressure.
Yeah,
it kind of looks neat. I don't mind it. I think it's like, oh, that's a cool idea.
No, man,
because it looks like crazy to see the actual aftermath of what that would be like.
There's just no gore in this that's doing anything for me.
I know. I'm just trying to find the bright side sometimes, and I'm trying to find the small amounts of bright side.
Hey, I like the head explosion.
Okay. Well, he tells Maggie he doesn't have a son, and he dies. And Tracy the whole time's like, ditch his dead body, let's go.
She don't give a shit.
They drive out of Springwood, and Freddy is very happy, and he said, this is exactly what I wanted. You're going to bring me to more souls, kind of a thing. So he jumps inside of Maggie's head. Don't know why or how or what that does, but they're able to get back to the foster home or whatever the hell it is. It's not a foster home. I don't know what the hell it is.
It's like a youth center.
It's some kind of
juvenile home.
Juvenile home, yeah.
Yeah.
And when they get there, nobody remembers Spencer, Carlos, or John Doe.
Nope. And now the
only one that does is Doc. And Doc says, I remember him because I can control my dreams. In dreams, he's affecting everybody and erasing and changing reality.
What?
So he somehow changed everybody to remember these kids. And I'm like, how about Spencer's father?
Yeah, he did have a father outside of this whole thing.
And he just came to see him not too long ago. He's got to remember he's paying for this child.
Yeah, I think he's single-handedly keeping that center open.
Probably right.
It's literally deteriorating. It's like the grossest place on earth.
Yeah, especially since we see Tracy in the bathroom putting water on her face.
Oh my God.
It looks just like a gas station bathroom from hell.
Oh, it's so nasty. It's just absolutely just gross. This is supposed to be where they're living. They're supposed to give these people like shelter and take care of them, and they're making them bathe in filth. That's freaking gross.
Well, this is one of the I don't mind some of the stuff. They're trying to do some practical effects here, which is kind of fun. Tracy in the bathroom starts dreaming, and the room behind her changes from the bathroom to her old house. And we see that Tracy, what happened with her father. her father molests her. And he comes home and he creepily comes behind her and a whole thing. And every time in the shot, they're moving the set away. So the bathroom is gone and it's in she's in her old house. And I'm like, okay, this is some cool practical effects. I don't mind. And especially since she takes a coffee pot and bashes her father's face in, but her father isn't dead. His face is like smashed like silly putty.
Yeah.
And I'm like, it's fun. It's kind of a fun, okay, practical effect. And I also love that they had Robert Englund stand next to this man in the shot, because you see the father now has Freddy's arm. And then when the camera pans, you can see that they snuck Freddy out and the father off camera.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't exactly do it well enough, because you kind of see the father slip away a little bit.
Yeah.
But I kind of dig the attempt at the practical effects.
They tried, but I don't think it was well executed.
Well, she's able to wake up out of the dream. And the way she does is she burns her hands. And another fuck up is that she already has the burn marks on her hand before she puts them over the fire. Mm-hmm. But they're trying here.
So
she gets out and she tells them Freddy's coming for them. So now they have to figure it all out. Now, Maggie at the same time is remembering everything. And what she remembers is that when she was a little girl, her mother went into the basement and found Freddy Krueger's killing room. And she came out and said, I won't tell anybody. I won't tell. Freddy sends his daughter downstairs to go into her room. So he goes to her room, and at the same time, he ends up killing the mother outside. Now, they're suggesting that this is the setup to how he gets caught. Now, I don't know how he could get away with the murder of his wife, because in the original series, what we know is that he was never convicted. They couldn't convict him, and that's why they go and they get vigilante justice on him by setting him on fire.
Yeah.
And what we're also being told is that the daughter is the one that went and told on him. And because he said, you won't ever tell. And she says, I'll never tell. And he's like, you did tell. And that's what got him in trouble, because they took her away from him. So that's why he started killing all the people in town's kids, because they took his daughter away. So he's going to take their kids away. Because I think there's news clippings that say that he has killed kids in other states until this point.
Okay, well, this is where it bothers me about Maggie. It bothers me because she was easily 5 or 6 years old when she saw her mother killed. That's not something that you forget. Now, she acts like she didn't even remember being adopted. How do you not remember these moments?
She doesn't remember it, and she finds out she has adoption papers and the whole thing. There's a lot of scenes with her mother cut out. I've seen a couple deleted scenes from it, but to explain like the family a little bit. But her father's never mentioned. So you're kind of questioning that the whole time. Like, is that woman her mom? But we see the mom was killed. So it's kind of odd. But also, by doing the math here, we know she has to be in her 40s.
Well,
if he was killed in 68 and she's like 5 years old or 3 years old.
She's definitely not 3 years old.
Before 68.
She's at least 6 years old, at least. So I just don't understand.
You know what I'm getting at, though.
Yes, but how would you suppress the memory of watching your biological mother get killed by your father? That's just not something you forget, especially when you're able to remember at 6 years old. You know, like, it's just, that's just weird.
I mean, I guess it's the traumatic effect, because she goes in, we actually see his kill room and we see that he's multiple gloves. Now, they come up with a plan to kill Freddy, and that is where the movie got one of its like hype things in the theater, 3D glasses. Everybody got 3D glasses in the theater. And when you were told, when she puts her glasses on, you put your glasses on. So you see everything in 3D.
Mm-hmm.
It was cheesy. They actually filmed a scene where she says now to the audience. She tells everybody to put them on. So they come up with this plan that she's going to use 3D glasses to make her powered up, because Doc has a poster on his wall of a demon cult that is a dream demon. And that they believe that's how Freddy got his powers. And Freddy straight up admits, yeah. He actually goes to Doc in his dream and tells Doc, yeah, the dream people gave me my powers.
Which is weird because Doc openly said that he can control his dreams, and that's bullshit.
Yeah, and he does kind of, because somehow he is so powerful in his dream that he rips his sweater in half and brings it with him into the real world.
Yeah.
I was like, damn, that's some power right there.
So bad.
I love that Freddy shows off his sweet cartwheel.
And yeah,
I know why they did that, but I don't know why, if people know why that was done. I think it just comes off really silly. But what he's doing is he's mocking Doc, because early in the film, he's training Tracy how to fight.
Right.
And she does the cartwheel and a spin kick. Freddy does the same exact move in front of him. And he goes, check it out, Doc. And he does a spin kick and he does the cartwheel. It just comes off so silly if you connect that.
It really is. I mean, I'm not going to lie. Everything that Freddy tries to do in this, it just comes off goofy as fuck. I mean, like Looney Tunes level, just goof. I just can't take it.
I
usually laugh at Robert Englund when he does his one-liners, but this was just straight up goof. It was not even like, you know, when he makes his like off the cuff, like how sweet fresh meat stuff.
Yeah.
It wasn't like that. This was like over the top clown shit. I didn't like it at all.
He is full on the 90s thing with the MTV. Everything he was doing at the time, this all in this film. Like being very comical, more for the kids than the other movies. At this point in time, they're making him more likable in a weird way, while also saying he is a child murderer and hammering it in.
Mm-hmm.
And we actually get, when Maggie goes into the universe to fight him, she goes into his mind and she sees everything. And what she sees is his, like everything we haven't seen of him. So they reference the son of a thousand maniacs, whatever it is. What is it? 10,000 maniacs or 1,000 maniacs?
Yeah, it's...
Son of 100 maniacs. That's
something like that.
Son of 100 maniacs or whatever, that from the previous films. So they reference that, but he's in school. And we see him, like, killing the school pet with a hammer. And we also see him cutting himself in the basement and his stepfather coming to him, played by Alice Cooper. Alice Cooper getting to do a non-Alice Cooper makeup role. That's why he did this. He comes down as a stepfather, and I guess what they reference is that his father tries to beat him, his stepfather, but he turns the tides on him and maybe kills him. It's very hard
to
tell.
They don't show us.
Yeah. You just hear him scream, and he holds out the knife in a 3D fashion. So we see all the little things, and they have a showdown with the 3D glasses. I don't really know what the 3D glasses do, but stick stuff in our face.
That's all it is. It's just a gimmick. It has nothing to do. This movie has no rhyme or reason. There's nothing. It's just, when I said to you in the beginning of this that it was just shots of things, that's all it is. It doesn't tie together at all. It's just stupid.
Well, and we also get a shot of when he gets set on fire originally, the dream worms come to him. They look like little sperms.
The dream worms. Do you hear yourself?
I know, the dream demons. No, he says, the dream people. They fly to him. They look like little tadpoles, but they come to him, and apparently they seek out. I love the doctor knows this. They were seeking out the worst soul to use as their killing, their whatever the hell it is, for their goals. I don't know. So they come to Freddy Krueger and they tell Freddy Krueger, "Let us enter you, and we'll make you immortal." So he says yes, and they entered him, and that's how he became Freddy Krueger that we know. Which is funny that he's not burnt yet, so why he even looks burnt?
Yeah, and except in this, he's not the Freddy Krueger that we know at all. He's a clown. And also, I noticed makeup was different.
So. Yeah, it's a little, like we were going on about with the tuning it down with the horror, his makeup is less gory, and it's more plasticky and safer. It's more clean.
It is cleaner.
Yeah.
See, that's the thing. When we first meet him in the very first film, he is terrifying. The sight of him, the burns, the nasty, like, rotted teeth, like, everything about him is so scary. Now, it's like they just did the bare minimum on him. You know, just to get through. It was like they didn't put any effort into this movie at all. That's the way I see it.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I again, trying to make it very accessible, I guess, is what their goal was for the last movie, which is odd. Well, she's able to kill him by ripping off his arm, doing some sweet ninja moves, and hitting him with some weapons, and then cutting off his arm, and then sticking
the dynamite in his...
I actually forgot. I skipped over the part. She actually holds on to him and rips him out of the world. And for some reason, he shows up in the basement.
Yeah, okay.
And I don't even understand how that happens. And that's when she does the sweet ninja moves and cuts his arm off and then sticks dynamite inside of his chest.
Kids.
And he explodes with a 3D effect of his head flying at us over and over and over again until it explodes. And she just smiles at her two co-workers and she goes,
Freddy's dead.
And that's the end of the movie. That's it. And what I love here too is they had originally intended for her to become Freddy Krueger.
Oh my God.
So they wanted to bring Freddy back through her, making her the new Freddy Krueger, and that she was supposed to have had him in her mind. And that's what he jumped in her head earlier in the movie. That's what the intention was. But of course, that didn't come to fruition because the movie's not that good.
No, so she suddenly went like batshit crazy and said, oh, I'm just going to be a murderer too.
Well, he's in her head. In original movies, we've seen
but not that anymore. He can
control people's bodies.
Yes, but not anymore because she brought him into the real world. So that doesn't make any sense.
But he also, they could have said that he like Voldemort and ripped his soul in two because he jumped in her head. So maybe she now has the power. And we also see the dream worms blow out of him and fly to the camera. So we don't know where they go.
Dream worm.
And I'm also going to point out, since we already did Jason Goes to Hell, there is also some kind of dream creature in that, some kind of monster, little bug creature that is in Jason. And we see that Freddy's glove comes out to grab Jason's mask. And I think that was supposed to be the attachment to the two movies, is having these weird dream demons.
Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
When did the new Nightmare come out again?
Was that after this?
It was after this. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Because this movie, I would think, would be just a flat out, straight up franchise killer.
Yeah,
I really
it do. Is a franchise killer because they didn't bring it back until the new Nightmare, and that was Wes Craven trying to reboot it and do something different with it, which is virtually his soft reboot into the Scream movies, which mm-hmm. is what he. It's like he first attempt was New Nightmare and that wasn't that great of a movie. Then he was like, oh, Scream. He finally found his sweet spot, Wes Craven. I have a lot of problems with New Nightmare as well.
I really do appreciate New Nightmare. Oh. I think it was a really neat take on changing things up.
Yeah, it's a cool idea that focuses too heavily on a child and it is not great. Miko Hughes.
Miko Hughes is great.
I don't like him in that film.
I think he's great. The child
stuff is bad in that movie.
I like what they try to do in that movie. I thought it was different.
It's different. It's virtually just Scream.
Yeah, and then Robert Englund got to be Robert Englund, and it was fun, for a little bit.
They didn't go far enough with any of that. I know, that movie's a whole nother talk, but there's some cool stuff. The best scene in the whole movie is them repeating the first kill in the original movie. They just repeat the kill again.
When do they do that? When?
The babysitter gets in this hospital.
Oh, yeah.
That's like the Tina best part.
The first one, yeah.
It's the best part in that movie.
But,
Robert Englund's bone claw hand. Oh, God. I don't like it.
Yeah.
Anyways, I mean, this movie, I know you hate it, you hate it, hate it. You said it numerous times. I also know it's a bad film. But I think it's, there's just enough cheesy weirdness here that is like, hey, it is what it is. I don't hate it. I don't love it. I don't even like it. It's just, eh. And I think it falls in the so bad it's good territory. It's just cheesy fun. And some of the kills, some of the bad acting, some of Freddy, just Robert Englund being Robert Englund doing silly stuff is fun. It's not, I don't hate it. There's not one of those movies that I can't watch and go, like, you know, we've watched movies on this show where I go, I can't ever see this again.
Oh, of course we have.
And this is not one of those movies to me.
I feel like I will not sit through this again because this run through, I think this is my second time watching this. It's, and I just couldn't do it. I mean, there was nothing, nothing there for me. Nothing. It did not. I actually would say that the second one, I really disliked that movie, but this one takes the cake on the whole.
And you still dislike the second
Nightmare on Elm Street? I do dislike it. Yes.
Wow. I don't know why. Actually, it's a lot of fun.
No, I don't like it. I don't care much for it. But this one was worse. This one was 20 times worse.
I don't even think that conversation's even in. Like, to compare two in this one. I can see if you compare five in this one.
No, what I'm saying is that was the one that I hated the most. Like, I just liked...
Really?
Out of the whole franchise, that was the one I disliked the most, was part two.
It is the stepchild of the group. It is the one that is doing something completely different than we think we want. And I can see why people don't like it because of that.
It's a bit extra. But going
back to it, it fits one more than the other ones do.
Yeah, I mean, we had to sit through 2 hours of this main character, and I just disliked him. He was just beyond annoying in the second one. So I thought that, but this one, I really do dislike it much worse than the other one. I mean, I would rather sit through the second one again and give it a fourth chance than sit through this thing again.
I'm on board. I'm going to be a huge defender of two. I definitely defend two. Three is my favorite. One is the second best. Then okay. Freddy versus Jason, and then two, and then four.
Okay.
I think that's how I go.
Yeah. I this one, I'm out. I'm out. I want to pretend as though part two and part two and part six here did not happen. They're terrible.
We're not doing part two. You gotta move on from part two here.
I'm just telling you that I that's my comparison.
Okay. All right.
You're gonna get slapped.
I am.
Try my patience.
Jeez, there you go again. Here's another attack on camera again on audio taping. Let me ask you this. So far, we've done four movies.
Mm-hmm.
What's your ranking to this point of the four movies we've done this month?
So the worst, Freddy's Dead. The next worst would be Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Then Jason Goes to Hell and Halloween. Halloween was the one I disliked the least.
Wow.
I actually didn't mind Halloween out of all those that we watched. But Freddy's Dead is hands down so far the worst thing.
Oh my God.
It's the worst.
All right. That's crazy. All right. I'm trying to think of what my least favorite is right now of the four.
I know what you'll say. It's what? Texas Chainsaw.
Is my least favorite?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Oh, you didn't have anything nice to say about that.
That's not true. I kept saying it's grown on me. I said it numerous times. I'm like, it's one of these weird movies that's grown on me. I thought I hated it. Like, I thought I absolutely hated that film. Then I rewatched it and I was like, there's something weird about it that I kind of like.
Well, you like Jason Goes to Hell. So
I do like Jason Goes to Hell.
That'll
I
be don't the first mind one. That
film.
Then you'll say Jason Goes to Hell. Then you'll say...
What, Jason Go Hell is my favorite of the bunch?
Then you'll say...
I don't think it is, though. Isn't that crazy? I guess it is.
Yes, it is. Out of the ones we've already watched, it is. 100%.
Here's what I've learned so far this month. Mm-hmm. Halloween Resurrection that I thought I liked is bad. Texas Chainsaw Massacre that I thought I absolutely hated, I don't mind so much anymore. Freddy Goes to Hell, Freddy's Dead and Jason Goes to Hell are two movies that I used to think they're not as bad as everybody said they are. They are not that good. I'm wrong on both, but I also don't think they're the worst. I think that right now, Resurrection is in last place.
Wow, because you defended Busta and the Busta's gang.
Busta's the only thing I like about that movie.
You defended that movie. You did. And I recall liking it too. And then I'm like, oh man, this is a piece of crap.
It's much worse than I thought it was.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. All right. So what's your score on this one then?
This is a four for me.
Oh God.
It used to be much higher. So don't even go there. Man. I remember thinking this was at least cheeky fun. And now now it's like, yeah, it's pretty bad.
This shit, man. No.
But what I've learned is that these huge horror franchise characters, their movies aren't that good.
Ugh.
Like, I like the first Halloween. I like the first Friday the 13th, Nightmare on Elm Street.
Oh,
those two movies, the Halloween one, Nightmare on Elm Street, are good. Halloween is great.
Yeah, it is.
To me. Mm-hmm. A Nightmare on Elm Street is pretty damn good. But then all the, and I should say this, I think Halloween, Nightmare on Elm Street 3 is great.
Nightmare
on Elm Street 4, 5, and 6, and New Nightmare, I could care less.
I had a great time on Nightmare 4.
I don't want to, I'm like, eh. There's things in all three, there's little things I like. But as movies go, they're pretty junky. I feel that way about Friday the 13th movies. Like, they're pretty junky.
Like, I mean, we got some stinkers in all the franchises, you know?
That's what I'm getting at.
What can you do?
After Halloween 1, like, 2 is okay.
2 is okay.
The rest? Mm. I mean, holy crap, the rest.
I don't know, man. I don't know.
I would love to, because one of my favorites, so bad it's good, is Halloween 4 or 5? Which one is the one where Loomis just screams at the girl?
I think that's part 5. Jamie, when she goes catatonic and she doesn't talk anymore.
That movie is straight up hilarious.
Loomis loses his shit.
I laughed for the whole movie. I don't know if it's not supposed to be funny. I'm shocked. It is very funny. I think that movie is funny. I would love to do that on here one day because I love it. It's so stupidly bad. It's so much fun though because of it. Yeah, here we are though. We're both seeing. We're kind of in the opposite here, which is shocking. We're completely different on this. I think that Resurrection overall might be the dumbest of the bunch.
Well, I disagree 100%.
If I had to say this, this is what I'm going to say. Worst for me right now is Resurrection, then Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Then it's Freddy, and then it's Jason Goes to Hell is probably my favorite of the bunch, although I don't think it's that good either.
I mean, I can't believe I'm saying that Halloween Resurrection is tops for me.
So bad.
I mean, I feel like
I think you're forgetting about it already. Like,
no,
since
I'm
we've
not
watched it again.
Because at least there's some things in there, like, you know, Busta. He's saving it though.
Freddy's
dead's got nothing. Okay, I hate all these people. I don't give a rat's ass about them. And I don't. There's no gore. There's nothing. There's no Freddy. Freddy's not Freddy. He's a freaking Looney Tunes character. It's terrible.
Wow.
I'm giving this shit a 3. And I don't even want to give it a 3. I want to give it a 2.
Wow.
Yes. I hate it.
All right.
And that brings us to our segment of why we can't have nice things by Joe, where I read you 2 extremes of online reviews. 1-star and a 10-star review is proof that people ruin the rating system and prove that no matter what, there's always going to be someone who fucks it up for the rest of us. And I'm going to start with a 10-star review this time. This one's titled, More of a Comedy Than a Horror. I saw this movie with my friend and we couldn't stop laughing. I mean, there was nothing scary about this movie. It was funny. All the lines Freddy said were hilarious. I think they shouldn't have even made a new Nightmare and just gone to Freddy vs. Jason. Although some parts were gross, like the head blowing up. And any Elm Street film from 1 to 5 sucked. This was the best besides number 1. I wouldn't recommend this movie if you want a good horror. But if you have nothing else to do, rent this and you'll laugh a lot. I want to see the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. I think it would be scary. Freddy's Dead, The Final Nightmare overall is a B-. Then why are you giving it a 10-star review, you stupid fucker?
Wow, jeez. That went places, though. I will say that. Well, that one went places.
Okay, well, this person is making me mad. Okay, I'm sorry. I am not taking back my stupid fucker comment. 1 to 5 sucked. But then you just said in this review that the best one is number 1. So how are you saying 1 to 5 sucked? And also, Dream Warriors is fucking awesome.
Yeah, Dream Warriors is amazing.
So this person...
It's so much fun.
Eh.
Yeah.
Sorry, that just got me mad. Anyways, 1 out of 10 here. Easily the worst in the series. Not only the worst nightmare, but quite possibly the worst film ever made. I can't even sit through this movie anymore. And I can count the number of movies on one hand that I can truly say that about. The acting is abysmal. The script is atrocious. The effects are horrible. There's not one single thing redeeming about this film. It's horrible. I cannot stress how bad of a movie this is. And I don't mean the good kind of bad. I mean junk. Anyone involved in the making of this turd, with the exception of Robert Englund himself, should have been legally barred from participating in the creation of anything involving a camera.
Damn.
That's harsher than me.
That's cold.
That's harsher than me calling that other person a stupid fucker.
All right. What I love, though, is that's a good intro to another segment we usually do. Because you're saying the worst movie ever made. Now, I think we're both saying, and I know you don't like this movie, but it's not the worst movie ever made.
No, it's not.
Now, what is? Okay, because this person said, this is the worst movie ever made. The worst film
ever made.
So my question to you is, does this belong anywhere in the top 15?
In the top 15? No, no.
It doesn't.
No.
That's what I'm getting at.
Okay. But it's still a 3. We've had some shit on the top 15. What's number 15 on our list?
The Toxic Avenger 4.
Okay, that's worse than this.
Yeah. Sergeant Kabuki Man?
I would have to say that I'd watch Sergeant Kabuki Man again before this.
Oh. Wow.
I did not like this movie at all.
Okay, so underneath Sergeant Kabuki Man is The Christmas Tree, Mask of the Red Death, Beach Balls.
Beach Balls is terrible. I hated it.
But would you watch all of those movies before you watch this movie again?
I will never watch Beach Balls again. I'd probably watch this one, but I have to drink heavily, so it's fun.
I'm putting this at number 22.
All right. I mean, I just don't like this one. There's nothing that made it fun for me. It was too slapsticky. And like, what's going on here? What's going on here?
I cannot believe this movie's only an hour and 29 minutes.
I know. It actually felt longer. Not gonna lie.
Oh my goodness.
I just wanted it to end. That's why. I was like, all right, come on.
I'm surprised. Yeah, I really don't hate it. Like, I just don't hate this movie. I know it's not good. And I'm coming to realize that a lot of these movies I grew up on and these horror franchises are not very good. They're just kind of held there because of nostalgia. And they're also held there because of the silly fun that I had as a child. Now I'm looking back at them and I'm going, yeah, these aren't that great. You know, these could be so much better. I like them just fine. And this is one of those movies to me. It's like, you know what? There's some things here. I'm always going to remember certain stupid lines of his. I remember these scenes. It's never faded from my memory, but I definitely know it is not a good film.
Okay. You seem to like it more than me. I just couldn't do it. It just got too with the boing, 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 boing.
I kind of love watching Freddy be so cheesy. I love seeing him like Wile E. Coyote. Something bonkers. About it makes me laugh about it.
It's just bonkers because, you know what? Usually I laugh at slapsticky stuff, and this was not funny to me. I was like, first of all, Freddy is awesome when he's scary and he has those one-liners that are like, you know... this is just a joke to me. That's all I got.
Well, I would love to hear what you think about this movie. If you have any opinions against or for or what we're saying, I'd love to hear it. Hit us up on Instagram at Just Another Movie Night and Joe at The Crafty Misfit. I'd love to hear it. And I, as always, thank you so much for listening. We really appreciate it. So long. Have a good one.
Really going to be dead?
Yes, really dead.
This is it.
This is it. This is it.
These films have made $400 million. If this film opening on Friday the 13th does well, there's no way they'll resurrect you?
Well, they can't. First of all, I'm working for somebody else now. I'm doing a TV series on another network. And I think they really wanted to reward the fans, you know, really go out with a bang instead of a whimper. You know, we could probably drag these on forever, but I'm kind of proud of them for, like, sort of putting everything in the last one, like a big finale.
I am forever. Too bad you're not.